The greatest test that I ever encountered happened to me 2.5 years ago. My wife and daughter got up on Saturday morning, October the 13th, and started to Brownwood, Texas. At 8 o'clock that morning, our enemy, the devil, stopped my wife's heart, driving 70 miles an hour, and she veered into the left lane of an oncoming truck and hit an oncoming truck head-on at 70 miles an hour. I was teaching a healing school in a Baptist church in Hurst, Texas that Saturday. A police officer walked in the back door. He said, "Are you Thurman Scrivener?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you have a wife named Betty?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you have a daughter named Amanda?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Sir, there's been an accident." I said, "Are they injured?" He said, "Sir, they're both deceased." I said, "How about the two babies?" He said, "They care flighted them to Cook's Medical Center in Fort Worth, and both of them are in very critical condition." Here I'd been walking with him, seeing him heal bodies, do great and mighty things, and now then they just tell me my wife and daughter's dead and my grandbaby and a little girl like her grandbaby is probably not going to live. We don't understand these kind of things when they happen. I drove down to Cook's Medical Center and walked in and met a social worker, and she said, "Sir, I've got to tell you that Caitlin cannot live." I said, "Oh yeah, honey, she's going to live." She said, "Sir, she cannot live." I said, "What's wrong with her?" She said, "It's obvious that something cut her seatbelt and she was slammed into the seat in front of her when the two vehicles ran head on." She said, "Sir, her skull is crushed in 5 places. Her face is tore all to pieces. We don't even know what all's wrong with her in her chest. She's bleeding everywhere." Said her brain stem is severed. Her eyes are disconnected from her brain. Her right knee is crushed and her left leg is broken in 2 places. I opened this book to one promise. I said, "Father, you said in John 15:7, if your words remain in me and I remain in you, I can ask you anything and you'll do it for me." You said I got to believe with no doubt in my heart. I said, "Father, I ask you to raise up my grandbaby. I ask you to make her completely well. I ask you to heal that face and I don't want a scar on it. You said I can ask anything. If I believe you, you will do it. I ask you to raise her up and make her whole. I ask you to let her run and play. I ask you to reconnect her brain stem and her eyes and make her completely well. And I want to thank you for it." And then I turned to every doctor and I said, "I guarantee on the word of the living God, you will see my God do a miracle and raise this little girl up and she will run and play again because He made me the promises and I am not taking nothing but what God said for an answer." The second Monday morning, Dr. Marks, which is head of neurology at Cook's Medical Center, called a meeting with us and said, "I do not know how this little girl has lived a week, but," he said, "this week we're going to pull the tubes out of her. And when we pull the tubes out of her," said, "we got the tubes in her that are causing her to breathe and everything," and said, "when we pull the tubes out of her, she will die and you do not want to resuscitate her." I said, "Sir, she's not going to die." He said, "Sir, I just done the second MRI on this little girl and there's nothing attached to her brain. Nothing." So he said, "There's nothing to tell her to see, nothing to tell her to cough, nothing to tell her to move or to breathe or nothing." So he said, "when we pull the breathing machine," he said, "she will die." I said, "Oh no, she won't." I said, "The Word of God says something different, Dr. Marks." I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, I'm a Jew." I said, "Well, good." I said, "My Jesus was a Jew." And I said, "You're going to get to see the best Jewish physician do the best work you have ever seen, I guarantee it." I said, "I'm going to guarantee you on the word of the living God of John 15:7, when you and all these other doctors pull the tubes out of my grandbaby, she's not only going to breathe on her own, but she's going to breathe over that machine on her own and she's going to cough." And all those doctors, knowing, trained by their 5 physical senses, knowing that they had just done a second MRI and there's nothing attached to her brain, they knew I was crazy. So they just hung their head and pulled all the tubes. And when they pulled all the tubes, she breathed 2 points over the machine on her own and started coughing. Our Jesus, He is an awesome, awesome God. He is awesome. So over the next few days, she got stronger, she breathed more, she breathed better. After they pulled the tubes, the next Sunday night had been 2 weeks and 1 day. Now a little face that was totally destroyed, that was unrecognizable, that was torn and cut all to pieces, I had asked the Father in the name of Jesus to restore that beautiful little face according to those promises, quoting them to Him. And every day, I took a list of these promises and I gave them to my son-in-law and to my son. And I said, guys, I want y'all to read the Word of God over her every day. I mean, just take this sheet of paper with all these magnificent promises and read them over her every day. When y'all are gone and I'm here, I'll read them and I'll praise and worship the King for His promises that are always yes and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God made in His Word to you, if you're in Christ, all of His promises to us, the body of Christ, are yes and amen every time. The answer is never no from God to us, to His children. If we're walking in obedience to His Word, with all our sins confessed, all of His promises are yes to His children every time. So, as they read these over that, by that second Sunday evening, I left that Sunday afternoon and she had one great big red deal left over one eye. Every cut and bruise on her face had been healed without a scar. And when I walked back in Monday afternoon, that little face was as beautiful as it was before the accident, laying there without a single scar or a single mark on that beautiful little face. So as I continued to sit there and praise the King and worship Him over her, she got better and stronger, and we came out of ICU. The doctor, when they pulled the tubes, he said, sir, we need to do surgery on that right knee. I told him, no, sir, we're not going to do surgery on the right knee. He said, sir, the kneecap is crushed. He said, she will never walk again. I said, oh, yes, she will. I said, sir, I've stepped into a realm of faith. God made me a promise, and I'm trusting Him and Him alone, no one else. He said, I've got to do surgery. I said, no, sir. No surgery on her knee. He said, can I at least put a cast on the leg to hold it straight? Her daddy said, Thurman, please, let him put a cast on it. I said, okay, put a cast on it. They put a cast on her leg. It healed supernaturally. They took the cast off, and without a single surgery on that little girl, we went home after 30 days in ICU. I took her out, and the doctor says, I do not understand how this little girl has lived. I said, sir, she's lived because I believe this book, the Word of my God. Its name is Jesus. He said, well, there's something there. Something's happened. He said, I just don't understand. But he said, take a wheelchair and we'll make her a special one because she'll motorize one because she'll never walk. I said, I do not receive that curse. I said, that little girl will walk. She will run. She will play. He said, sir, that's impossible. I said, sir, you're going by what you see and not the Word. So I took the Word of God with my grandbaby. I took her home. I would not put her in a wheelchair. I carried her. I would not roll her out of that hospital in a wheelchair. I would not show unbelief. I carried her. I took her home. I set her down in the bed, and I'd set her up and say, Caitlin, honey, in the name of Jesus, I command your body to be strong and for you to set up. And I'd turn her loose, and she'd fall down. I'd pick her back up. I mean, when you started training your children to walk, the first time you picked them up and stood them up and said, walk, you turned them loose, and they fell down. Did you stop? No. I picked mine up again, and I said, in the name of Jesus. And I did that over and over and over until she could set up in the bed. Then I took her out of the bed and stood her up, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your little body to be strong where you can stand in the name of Jesus. And I'd turn her loose, and she'd fall on the floor. I'd done that over and over until she could stand. And then I commanded her to walk, and I did that over and over and over until she could walk. I took her back on December the 30th of 2001 to Dr. Marks, and he looked at her, and when he saw her walking down that corridor holding my finger, he come grabbed her up. He said, would you look at this? And he picked her up and took her in his office. He's beginning to check her and examine her. And I said, Dr. Marks, what do you think about my Jesus now? He said, sir, all I got to say to you is somebody a whole lot bigger than me put this little girl back together. But January the 6th, she was still blind. We had just built a brand new Baptist church. That church where we'd been going there in Justin, at that time I had not started my own ministry. I was still teaching and going to Sunday school and everything in a normal Southern Baptist church there in Justin, Texas. We didn't even have a pastor at that time. We had an interim pastor from the seminary come over to preach for us on Sunday. That Sunday morning, January the 6th, 2002, we opened that sanctuary brand new. We had the first service in that place. There was 400 people there that day. And I asked anybody that would, that believed that God would open my grandbaby's eyes, I invited them that afternoon at 2 p.m. to come and pray with me and stand on God's promises so the King could reconnect my grandbaby's eyes to her brain. And for a Southern Baptist church, no offense, folks, there was about 30 out of 400 showed up. And that's pretty good. That's pretty good because we've not been trained right. We're just like I was the first 45 years of my life. I didn't believe God could do all these wonderful things. I had never seen Him do anything. But now I do believe He will, and I know He will. And so I told them that day, I said, if you believe God will do what He says He will do, I want you to come and pray with me. I said, if you don't believe He will, then I don't want you there. because I don't want unbelievers there. Unbelief is what keeps God's power from flowing. So that afternoon we met, we put my little blind granddaughter, which could now walk, out in the middle of a big circle in that brand new sanctuary, and we prayed, stood on God's mighty promises for 2 solid hours. We prayed on our face before our King. We took her home. She still couldn't see a thing. But 3 weeks later, Caitlin and I was upstairs sitting there playing, and she had these little stands that's got these little plastic different sized donuts on them. Some of you will know what I'm talking about for children. And she would get these things, and before she'd feel around to find the little stand, and she'd put the donut on there. All of a sudden, while we're sitting there, I picked up one of the little donuts and was going to take it off, and I dropped it, and it rolled off over here, and it fell over. She just reached right over there and got it. And then she put it right back on the stand, and I thought, boy, that's unique. And so I took the donut back off, and I moved the stand over to another place, and then I laid the little donut over there, and I said, Caitlin, honey, get the red donut that Granddaddy just laid down and put it back on the stand. She reached right over out of all them, got the red one, and put it right on the stand, and Granddaddy went berserk. I mean, I jumped up and down and began to praise and worship the King. See what the Lord says. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, I've learned those scriptures well. He says, do not cast away your confidence, but you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. This is where I used to miss it. I think, you know, when Jesus did things in the New Testament, most of those were miracles or instantaneous healings. But now I've realized that He does miracles, and that's one of the gifts, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the gift of miracles. But the gift of healing is also usually done instantaneously. But God promised to heal every one of us every time if we will walk in obedience to His Word. And when I learned that principle and learned how to stand on His Word, I have seen the King heal awesome things, to do mighty things. He's done those things for me. Then after we got our eyes back, we still got a problem.
You have been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. This program originally aired in 2004 at an Advanced Training Institute conference in Big Sandy, Texas. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled God's Power, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.